wow, I taught her to sing like that. Thank you. She touches my heart. Now you see how easy it was to fall in love with her. Thank you, Wendy. That was beautiful. Now I got to get focused on the Word of God, not my wife. Okay. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about moms, of course. It's Mom's, Mother's Day, Mom's Day. And I want to talk about my titles up there. All right. Well, moms teach us about God. Now, I want to start off with a question. What is the greatest accomplishment a person, a woman, can achieve in life? Since it's Mother's Day, I might give you a hint. What's the greatest achievement a woman can do in life? Bring life, give life. You guys walked right into the trap. No, those are great things. The greatest thing a woman, a mom, can do is the same thing a man is supposed to do. The greatest accomplishment in life is told to us by the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. And I wanted to open that up with this Mother's Day sermon because not all women will become mothers. Now the Bible says that those women who don't have physical children, that they can still have children, but more in the spiritual sense, as in investing in others and inside the church and with other children, growing them up in the faith. But not all women will be quote-unquote mothers. And it is a beautiful thing to be a mother. But the most beautiful thing we can do, as men or women, is to know God. And to know God and understand Him, that's a lifetime journey. That's a lifetime of spending time in the Word of God and walking with God and learning about this infinite Master and Creator of the universe. But there are some other ways we can learn about God, not just from His Bible. We can actually learn from about God and aspects of God from looking at men and women. And I'll tell you why. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we see here from the very beginning, when he created mankind, when he created a male and female, he created them in the image of God. Both man and both woman. And when man and woman, they walk with God, then that image can be seen, clearly seen, in the lives of those people. And so today I'm not going to talk about men. That'd take way too long. Talk about women. Talk about mothers especially. In you, when you walk with God, the way you were designed, the way God put His image on you, there are some things that we can see in you that can help us understand and relate to God that we couldn't get if we were just looking at man. Many times, because God relates to us as Father, and Scripture call Him He, and person, you know, the masculine pronouns, a lot of times we relate just God to, you know, man. And sometimes that's okay, because men do give some of the attributes and aspects of God in their lives. But many times they don't. If you have a very hard father, a very harsh father, maybe an unloving father, You can easily take those aspects from your human father and put them on your heavenly father and think, that's what God must be like, because God is father. But God is not man, God is not woman, he is God. And so here, today I want to take a few aspects from moms, from women, and I want to look at them and see that our moms have taught us something all along about God. And moms have made understanding God easier and us being able to relate to God because of moms. Do a little test. I did this first service. Ladies, I just want the ladies to speak. Ladies, I'm going to say a word here in a second. And I want you to give me the very first word that describes what I'm saying that pops in your head. Does that make sense? I'm going to say a word. First word that pops in your head that describes the word I just said, I want you to share it with me. Okay? Just the women. All right, women, here we go. Man. Man. Strong. 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 Smelling? Just strong. What do you do? Strong. What is this one? Made in the image of God. Provider. Father. That's okay. Understandable. All right, I got three or four. Okay. All right, one more, ladies. One more. Protector. All right, you got a protector. Okay, good. All right, good aspects. All right, now one more, ladies. Ready? Woman. Whoa! Whoa, there was a whole bunch right there. There was dead silence when I first said man. They're going to keep going. How come you can start describing so many things about women and not so much about men? I mean, if I asked the guys, they would be quiet, like, you know, but. That's the point. Moms have a huge influence on us. I'm not saying dads are bad, but dads have a different role. Mom has the role of teaching, taking care of. The word I want to start with today, and there's so many words I could take to look at moms. This sermon could actually go on all day. It won't, I promise. But I want to look at three aspects, just three. The things that we find generally in moms and women that we don't necessarily find in men. Not that men can't have this, but in general, moms have this. The first one I want to start with is compassion. Now, we're going to pick up a story here in 1 Kings. And it's a story usually used to talk about King Solomon. But I'm going to use it today to focus on mom. There was two ladies, two moms. They had little babies. They were born at the same time, and they were in the same house. And one night, one of the mothers must have smothered her child by accident. She woke up in the middle of the night, and her baby boy was dead. So this mom goes to the other mom and swipes the baby, takes her live child while she's sleeping, and replaces it with the dead one. In the morning, the first mom realizes, hey, this is not my child. So there's a big fight, and it ends up before King Solomon. And that's where we pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. Great wisdom from King Solomon. But how did he know which woman was the real mother? And it was because she was full of compassion. And compassion, again, I said, men can have compassion, but it's something that has to be fostered most of the time in us. But moms, boy, they have compassion, don't they? Mom's compassion never seems to end. They comfort us. I know, I was just saying the other day, my littlest one, Jocelyn, was hurt. She bumped her head or something. She's always running into walls. So I picked her up and I'm cuddling her because I don't get that many chance to do that. Because if mom's around, she runs to mom. Because mom is full of compassion. And just, there's nothing like the mom's compassion and love and touch, is there? And I was holding her for a few minutes, and Wendy must have heard the crying, and she walked in, and immediately Jocelyn took her arms off of me and reached for mom. But I understand that. I'm a little jealous at times, but I can understand her wanting to be in her mother's arms, because something about the compassion of moms. I remember my mom being compassionate. Dad, every once in a while, showed some compassion. He was a good man, and he was joking about it, but he was training me to be a man. He was training me to be tough and to, you know, to be a man. So a lot of times there wasn't a lot of compassion. But mom could always give me compassion. And you thought it would never end, right? But then you push your mom to that certain point. You got to really push a mom really hard to get to lose the compassion to mom, but I did that, you know. But even then, mom would show compassion, you know, and it just, and I look at my wife, and I watch her raise our children. And there are times, I guess I've become my father. Get up, I don't care if it's bleeding, it's just bleeding a little. Get up, get up. Shake it off. I did that with my oldest daughter one time. She had a broken arm. I didn't realize it. I was like, oh, come on, it's a little scratch. She actually fractured her arm. I was like, shake it off. Not a lot of compassion, but when she got home, and I even made her sweep the church that day. She was goofing off and fell and everything, and I was like, I told him not to be goofing off, and I said, hey, I want you to, before we go, you got to sweep this room. Got home, and of course, the compassionate one showed her compassion, and I'm like, oh, you're overreacting. Well, the next day, we found out she broke her arm. Bad father, huh? It's her fault. So, but compassion. We understand compassion because we have moms. Well, if we didn't have moms, maybe we wouldn't understand the compassion of God. Psalms 86:15 tells us this. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. And I think because we have moms and the way he designed woman and the way he designed mothers, we could understand this aspect of God. Because if we just had men to judge God from, it may not be a very pretty picture if we were using men to analyze who God was. But here with women, we can understand the graciousness of God. And God's grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Compassion. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. God says, I don't take pleasure in judging the unrighteous. So much compassion that he even sent himself, became a man himself. To be a better high priest that could understand our weaknesses and our faults, our fears and our worries. Compassion of God, never ending, just like in mom. The next one I want to talk about is sacrifice. Sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 2, we're going to pick up the story of Moses being born. Now, you got to understand, Exodus chapter 1, the Egyptians had the Israelites as slaves, but Israelites, they were having children, and they were growing and becoming a very powerful people. And the Egyptians thought, hey, if we don't do something, the Israelites are going to get too powerful, and we're going to become their slaves. So Pharaoh sent a decree out that from now on, every male child of the Hebrews was to be killed. As soon as they were born, death, thrown into the river. The girl children, it was okay, but the men, boys, they had to die. So we pick it up here in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Here, she's risking, she's willing to sacrifice her own life to make sure that her baby boy is not killed. What sacrifice? And there's many other stories, you know, through human histories of mothers giving their lives for their children and willing to risk it all to save a child. Even in the animal kingdom, the worst thing you want to run into is a mama, bear or mama, whatever mama kind of animal is, you'd rather run into the male than the female guarding her young. They're willing to sacrifice, to fight. Here we see a mother willing to go against the law of the land, risking her own life. She goes on to make the little ark that she puts Moses in. And a lot of times we think she just put it in the river just to see where it would go, but she didn't. She put it in a specific place and had her daughter watch over it. And that was a place where the Egyptian women, especially those of the house of Pharaoh, would go to bathe and stuff. And I think she was contemplating that because they were women, they would have more compassion than men. And she was hoping they would have compassion on this child of hers. And that's exactly what played out. And then she had to sacrifice even more after that. She had to allow another woman, the daughter of Pharaoh, to raise her child as her own. She was willing to sacrifice the time with the child. She got a little bit of time helping to nurse the child, but he grew up in the palace, and she had to see him from afar, willing to sacrifice the day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with him so he could be alive. See, great sacrifice in mothers. Mothers are always sacrificing. I mean, they seem to be working harder than most fathers do. I mean, fathers, we work hard. We provide for our family. We go out and work 8 hours a day, right? We come home, what do we want to do? Eat. Where's the food? And then what do we want to do? Put your feet up. Rest. Because we've worked all day. Well, usually before I leave the house, Wendy's up with the kids working, getting them ready, doing things. When I come home from work, she's taking care of things. When I got my feet up on the couch after I've eaten, she's usually taking care of things. When I'm sitting there watching the news or TV, she's putting kids to bed. I mean, I work, but she really works. She sacrifices so much. She's willing to give her all. And I've seen her give it her all over the last 20 years. And I can look back at my own mom and see how many times she sacrificed for us kids. No one quite sacrifices like a mother. It's hard to even put words to it. When you see them work without anyone really seeing what they do day in and day out. Their heart is always to give and not really think about themselves. It reminds me so much of the God that they were made in the image of. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. for a sweet smelling aroma. And Jesus gave his all, complete sacrifice, full of compassion and love for us. He laid his life down completely so that we could live. And that's what moms do. They sacrifice usually their entire days, their weeks, so that their kids can live and husbands can have the food when they comes home, and they're constantly sacrificing to make their children's lives and families' lives better. Can't really say much more than that. The last one I want to talk about is humbleness. Here we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 1. This is part of the Christmas story. The angel coming to Mary, and it says, verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, and who was also called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Here, a young lady, betrothed to a man. It's not like an engagement here in the States where you can break it off. This was a legal understanding between them that she was betrothed. She was his wife. Now, they weren't living together yet. They had not had physical relations yet, but they were legally bound together with Jewish custom. And an angel comes and says, "Hey, your Holy Spirit is going to come on you, and you're going to be with a child, but this is going to be a very special child, the Son of God, the Messiah." What a great honor. But she's still, you know, she's living in the real world, going to deal with real circumstances that are going to result from this holy miracle of this pregnancy. She wasn't a dumb lady. She was highly favored by God. I don't think God picked some valley girl or something, you know, that didn't know up from down. She had to know, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? I mean, in this culture at this time, she could be taken out and stoned by the village. She could be killed for allowing, being obedient to what God wanted her to do. And not only that, what is her husband going to think of her? What is the family going to think of her? What is the village and her friends, and what are they going to think of her? Back then it was a huge scandal. She was going to have to humble herself and take the ridicule, take the scorn, take the judgmental looks and the talking behind her back. She wasn't going to be able to defend herself. How could she? Does she have any proof that an angel came to her? Does she have any proof that there was no human father DNA part of this child she was going to have? Who's going to believe her? You know, all the way when Jesus was doing his ministry, people never forgot. Even when Jesus was doing his ministry, the Pharisees came to him and said, "Hey," and accused him one time, that "you don't even know who your father is." And that was a reference back to Mary. She must have been a loose woman. "You don't even know who your father is." She had to carry that stigma for a long time. She had to humble herself to do the will of the Father, to take care of Jesus. There's nothing more humble than a mom. Like Wendy said earlier, we put one day aside to honor moms, but the Bible tells us to honor moms every day. But moms are so humble. I mean, there are times the jobs they have to do, especially raising children, you couldn't get a man to do. You know, there's a time with every child when, and like I said, not to be, this is part of motherhood. There's a time in every child's life when the child figures out how to take the diaper off. Remember those days? And it never fails, once they figure out how to remove the diaper, that they remove the diaper one time when the diaper was pretty darn dirty. And then they explore the diaper. We've all, yeah, I can tell, we've all had that moment with children. Thank goodness for moms. Because if it wasn't for moms, those children wouldn't get clean. Because dads come in and go, oh, whoa, no way. But moms go in there, and moms say, oh, and they start cleaning it up. And I'm like, I mean, I might go get a fire hose and spray the kid off from a distance. The humbleness of moms to clean up after us, to take care of the children when they're sick. They're just so humble, and it's just natural. They're not trying to get attention. They're just doing what God designed them to do. And it's a beautiful thing. God is also very humble. Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I mean, he was God. He was reigning on high. Higher than man, higher than the angels. But he humbled himself. Not only did he humble himself to become a man, he had to become a baby first. Can you imagine God confining himself to being a baby? Having to be taken care of by those he created? Having someone he created tell him what to do as a little kid? What humbleness. He became put on our flesh, felt the weakness, felt the sickness, the weak. You know, when he was, there was times in his ministry he was so physically drained and tired. He didn't have to do that, but he wanted his creation, his children, to know him. And what better way than to come down and be with them? Because he designed us to be with him. In the very beginning, God walked with Adam and Eve. That's what God designed us to do. And of course, we know sin came in the picture and separated us from this God. And God could have just written us off, but because he's so full of compassion, so willing to sacrifice, and so very humble, that he became a man to deal with the sin issue, to bring us back in relationship with the Father, so that one day, not from a distance as today, but one day in the very physical presence of God, we will walk with him once again. Would have never have happened if he hadn't humbled himself. He gave us life. And if moms didn't humble themselves when we were kids, raising it up, I don't know how many of us would be alive today. How many of us would be able to look back and see and remember with great fondness and love our memories of our mom and the home she raised us in and what she taught us. In closing today, I would like to close with Proverbs 31 because I think it describes moms. Definitely describes my mom. and definitely describes my wife as the mother of my children. Who can find a virtuous woman? She is far more precious than jewels. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and love. Loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So today, on Mother's Day, we'd like to wish you happy Mother's Day. We'd like to honor and tell you how much we love you. Thank you for the way you have taken care of your children, your families, because in doing so, you have honored God, and you have taught us some aspects of God that we may never fully been able to understand. But now, because of moms, we can understand that God's compassion never fails, that he is willing to sacrifice, and he has sacrificed for us. And that the humbleness of God, humbleness of our mothers, should humble us to the point where we truly honor our moms every day. And be so thankful to God for the gift that he gave us in our moms. So mothers, thank you. Happy Mother's Day. And today I hope that you understand that you have honored God being a mom. It may not have always been easy. You may not have always been thanked. So many things you did may never have been noticed by anybody or even appreciated. But God saw it. And God is appreciative because you are fulfilling your God-given role as reflecting images of him. And God will reward moms. I completely believe that. God has a special place for moms. Because in God's great plan of redemption, he didn't have a human father, but he had a human mother. And I think he has a special place in his heart for moms. And again, I just thank you for being moms and helping us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to lift up our moms to you. Lord, there's sometimes just not the words to try to describe what you're feeling inside. Lord, our moms are special. They're not perfect. None of them are. But Lord, I see not only my own mom, but in my wife as the mother of my children, this strength, this fortitude, such compassion and sacrifice and humbleness and giving. Lord, mothers are special. They are truly part of the foundation of a solid family. Without a mom, it's going to be so hard. But Lord, I just thank you for the mothers in here. I ask you to bless them. Lord, I ask you to comfort the mothers in here who may have suffered the greatest thing a mother could probably experience is a loss of a child. It just goes against the mother's heart. Lord, I ask you to help those mothers come to you, to find the healing in you. Lord, I pray for the mothers whose children are maybe disobedient and rebellious, and children who are not appreciative of their moms. Lord, I ask you to convict those children. I ask you to come down hard and heavy on their hearts and help them to wake up and for them to understand the gift they have in their mother. How blessed they are. Let them have eyes to see what their moms have done for them. And Lord, I just ask that today, as sons and husbands and daughters, that we will take the time, if our mom is here, to honor her, to tell her how much we love her. If she's far away, to give her a phone call. Lord, help us to truly honor our mothers today. And Lord, we thank you that in our moms, we see you. Lord, I just thank you again. I just can't say it enough. We thank you for our mothers. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.